Welcome to the Carrier's Edge podcast. This is episode 100, which is probably way more interesting to us than it is to you, but we're pretty impressed that
100.
We got to 100. I am Jane Jezrawi, co-founder of Carrier's Edge and co-creator of The Best Fleece to Drive For. And with me as always,
Mark Morrell, other co whatever.
Did I do a co? I think I forgot what I was going to say.
That's all right. We've only done this 100 times. I don't think we did much of an intro the first time.
The first time that we did the podcast? We should have re-listened to it.
I considered that and then wisely chose not to.
Okay. Probably was wise. I don't like listening to myself. That doesn't stop me talking, but I don't particularly like listening to myself.
Well, those are different things.
Exactly.
I like listening to myself talking. I don't like listening to myself afterwards.
Exactly. Once you're done talking, that it doesn't need to be repeated. Need to be listened back.
Yes. I thought what we would do is, as a little bit of a recap, because I cannot believe we've done this many episodes of this, but I wanted to go back a little bit to where it actually started and talk about that for a little bit.
Okay. You mean when we were in the pool?
I think it was a pool conversation.
Yes.
I remember sitting on the deck at the other house and reading an Inc. magazine about podcasts and how many thousands of them there were. And it was just at that point where podcasts were a big thing when iPods first came out, and then they sort of got quiet. But quietly behind the scenes, a lot of them were popping up. And this story was about that, about how they've kind of been growing under the surface, and there's actually a lot of them. And at the time, there was something like 70,000 podcasts in the iTunes podcast section. There wasn't a separate Apple Podcasts app yet, I don't think. It was still part of iTunes, which was still a place where you purchased music rather than just streaming it. So it was a while ago. And so I was reading this and sharing these thoughts with you, and your immediate response was, we should do one.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
That sounds like me.
Yeah. And then like we both kind of went there at the same time, that we have all of these random conversations that would happen in the pool or while we're driving our kids somewhere or while we're cooking or just randomly doing things. And we would have these conversations. We're like, yeah, that should be a podcast. That's a podcast episode there. We have these realizations about things and discussions, and we turned it into a podcast.
We did.
And some non-zero amount of people have listened to those podcasts. But yet we keep doing them anyway.
We keep doing them. And I think if you're interested in The Best Fleece to Drive For, we talk a lot about what's going on every year where when we're scoring and the kinds of things that are happening at any given time. And so if you listen back, you can hear what those things were, like what was piquing our interest at the time, The fact that people were interested in doing podcasts in trucking in the last couple of years, way, way more fleets have started doing podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, I don't know, it was five, maybe 2019, saying at a convention where we were speaking, talking about how everybody should do a podcast.
Yeah.
They're easy and they're a very accessible way to get information to people who may stumble upon it, may or may not want it. You know, if you're talking to your employees, then you can get them to listen to the podcast. If you're, if you don't see them all the time, that's a way to communicate information about the business, about what you want to do and the reasons behind it. There's tons of reasons why you can do a podcast rather than, make $1 million and be, Joe Rogan.
That's a very good name drop there, yes.
There you go.
And we are not going in that direction, but yes.
No, but he's made a lot of money doing it, and a lot of people use YouTube and podcasts and that kind of thing too as a source of income.
Yes.
We're not doing it. We're using it another way, which is to get the word out there, but
yeah,
people do use it to
make
money.
There are lots of them, and everybody's got one now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's hundreds of them in trucking alone.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Tens of thousands, probably a couple 100,000 podcasts out there across Spotify and Apple Music and all of these different places. Now people do them on YouTube as well. So it has really shifted.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a useful way for us to discuss things, a good way for us to be very lazy about managing our staff sometimes.
Oh, that's... Well, that's the whole management by podcast that came up last week.
It came up on Friday at our newsroom, which is kind of a joke. We don't seriously do that.
Yeah, we don't decree things and, you know, assume that people are going to do it. That's not...
We may wish.
And sometimes it happens, but that's more of a happenstance. It's more lucky than anything else.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about when we first started this podcast and the technical problems that I had getting something that I was happy with, which is part of why I didn't want to go back and listen to it again, because I know I was never really very happy with the first four or five episodes that we recorded. Some of the technical pieces there, the bleed from our microphones into each other and some of the ways that it was set up, I didn't really like the sound of it. So it took, like a lot of shows, take a while to get into the groove and figure out how to do it. This one took us a while to figure out a setup that worked. And in the other house, when I would sort of build a makeshift vocal booth for you every 3 weeks for us to do the recording, it worked. And every time I did it, I thought, shouldn't I make something a little bit more permanent? And then I thought, yeah, it's once every 3 weeks. I can take 10 minutes to do this. It's not
that
terrible.
Yeah, so there's a series of doors that...
We did not actually talk about that
did
on
we?
One of the episodes.
Oh, we
yes.
did, because we I was sitting that. In these doors.
Yeah. Yes, your makeshift vocal booth and all of the towels hanging around. And
yeah.
Sounded good, though. And now we've got a new setup here, and it sounds just as good, and it's easier for me to set up.
And I, well...
Now you've got a moving blanket that you're surrounded by.
And there's a music stand with a yoga mat on it.
Yep.
So... Yeah, I'm in the lap of luxury, let me tell you.
Hey, well, I don't have any of those things. I'm just in an open room. But I'm surrounded by a drum set, so what else would
yeah,
I need?
There you go.
What else do
so
you
So you're
need?
Happy.
Yes. So here we are. I don't even remember exactly when we started it. I would have to go back and see how many seasons. Because for the first, I think, year that we did it, we didn't take a break in the summer. We went through the summer. And then I think it was that second year where we hit that... end of June timeframe, and we're like, oh my God, I cannot imagine trying to do a podcast.
Well, do the math. I mean, we've done 100. I can't believe we didn't bother figuring this out before, but we've done 100. So first couple of years, we did 24, and then we were doing about 9 a year.
No. Okay. That's not good math. But yes, I could do the math and figure it out.
No, and I say 24, I meant if we did it every month, then we would have had 12 times 2 episodes.
Well, we've always stuck with the 3-week schedule. So that would have been,
oh, okay.
Yeah, say 16 episodes
a
for
year.
A full year. Yeah.
So it's been 6-7 years? No.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Oh my God, we've been talking to each other that long?
Well, I don't know if talking is the word. Talking at each other in the right direction. Yeah. But yeah, I always knew that this was coming up. When we hit 90, it was like, okay, I can see this is coming. We should do something special for it. And then, like every other podcast episode, it snuck up on me. And today somebody's like, hey, you need to do the podcast episode this week. I'm like, oh, crap. Okay. Well, what are we doing? Okay. Nothing. Same old, same old. So... I didn't end up getting anything planned. There isn't a cake coming out or anything like that. There's no celebration happening.
Okay, well, we're doing a podcast, though.
We're doing a podcast,
okay.
But we're doing our regular podcast.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I had envisioned at some point having some special thing happening. I don't know what that would
well,
be.
Well, after this, we can go and get a drink.
There we go.
Or go to the bakery.
Yes, we will celebrate
and get
something.
A snack. We yeah. will celebrate. Yeah. No one else needs to, just us.
Yes. This is going to be a big, elaborate, party with a lot of guests. Like I envisioned this as like a house party where people would wander by or something.
Really?
I probably wasn't really awake when I was thinking about this because none of it makes sense as soon as I say it out loud. It's like, yeah, how's that going to happen?
No, because there's no one. We don't know anybody here.
Well, also, it would be a terrible sounding podcast. I would immediately say, no way. You can't record that. So I don't know. I always have these grand visions for things that are far off in the future, and then the reality turns into something different. So there we are. 100 episodes. And what have we got happening now that is worthy of our 100 episodes? I think we actually have stuff to talk about that is worthy of discussing. I'm not going to share what that is.
You know, any time you want to tell me.
Well, the first thing is it next week? End of next week. Yes, we have our first time doing an education session at Mid-America. I have been wanting to do something like this for years, to do a session for an audience that isn't just the fleet executives, that is drivers.
Why haven't we done one?
A bunch of reasons. It's a lot easier for us to do those things now that we're out on our own. So it's a part of the relationship, part of just the way things have gone, and part of, you know, some different things. I think the way we're handling, the way we're doing that's what we're doing there now is a bit different. And so a variety of different reasons, but I've wanted to do something like this for a while. And back when GATS was still around, I remember talking to them about doing something in that area, and they just didn't work out, and timing just wasn't a fit. And then they ended up canceling that show altogether. But I'm very happy to have the opportunity to do something for drivers. Now, I have no idea what that audience is going to be. Is it going to be fleet people? Is it going to be drivers? Is it going to be owner operators? Is it just going to be all vendors? Who knows? But potentially it's going to be a bunch of drivers.
And you're kind of fine-tuning the, you know, what you're talking about at that session for drivers.
Oh, yeah. I got stuff to say.
Ooh.
I have some feedback for them. Yes, about...
Feedback? Oh, I thought you were going to be more about, you know, finding out what they are thinking. But
no. Well...
Is this about how to talk to your carrier or...
Partly that.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be a big... chunk about it is in the area of what's working at the best fleets, what the best fleets are doing that's working really well, and what their drivers like, and what makes them winners, that kind of subject matter. But it is going to move into what drivers should be thinking about as they are looking for jobs. Instead of just saying, how much can I make here? Which is the dumbest question to ask, go and ask these questions instead.
Ah.
Look at what these companies are doing in these areas, because these are going to make more of a difference to you on a day-to-day basis than some potential amount that you might be able to earn down the road. So look at how fleets do things like performance management. You know, do they really give you guidance? Do they provide coaching? Do they help you to become the most successful person you can be in that company? Do they have committees where you have a chance to have a voice? Do you get to be part of speccing equipment? Do you get to be part of piloting new apps, new technology? All of that kind of stuff. What sort of coaching and professional development do they offer? Can you have a home in this place? And what kind of freight are they hauling, and where are they hauling it to? Is it even the kind of thing that you want to do? So all of that stuff will make for a better fit than just how much can I make here? And what kind of trucks do you have? So I want to talk about that a fair bit.
So how much can I make here? That is a very specific sentence that I know where it's coming from, but where, you know, why are you choosing that as the question to answer, or the question that is not, shouldn't be even be asked?
Yeah, I think part of it is that they ask it as sort of an icebreaker. They don't really know what to ask. They don't really know how to go about having that conversation. So they start with, what do you pay? How much does it pay? And really the answer to that is yes, it pays.
Well, the other thing that I was thinking of was a long, long time ago, back when we were, it was at Truck World, we were listening. There was a booth right across from us, or right beside us. It was a recruiting booth. Some company, and they were recruiting drivers, and drivers would come up, and that's all they would say is, how much can I make? How much per mile? Or, you know.
Yeah.
And we started, because when you're at a show, it's pretty boring when you're at a booth. And like, there are some busy periods, but then it goes up and down and up and down, and you start eavesdropping on other people's conversations. And that was the primary conversation. Like, there was a lot of people who had the same question. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Nobody had really, yeah, that was just how much can I make here? And that was it. And then the recruiters started talking. And yeah. that was like driver, question, recruiter, did the rest of the talking, driver takes a piece of paper or a business card or nothing and leaves.
Yeah.
Like that was the transaction. And that is, if you're trying to suss out a company for a job, for employment, there's a whole lot of other things that you could be asking. And we were talking to each other, the fact that, you know, the drivers really weren't getting any good information because you were only getting what the recruiter says and kind of, I don't know, either believing it or not believing it.
Yeah. Well, the recruiters kind of go into autopilot.
Yeah.
And they start doing their pitch. But to me, that's a bit of a red flag as well, because they're right away saying that we don't want to have a conversation with you. We just want to tell you.
Yeah. Because, well, there's a couple of things there. Is one, the recruiter starts talking. Obviously, the recruiter doesn't really care about the individual driver. Mm-hmm. He just looks at it as a person that, oh, I can get you into the seat of a truck. So that's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to do this sell job on you and say, you know what, it'd be great. You could come and work for us and blah, 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 and this benefit, this. But the recruiters at the time were definitely not asking the driver any questions about, well, what are you interested in? How many miles do you need? What other types of things are going to be an issue for you? And do you want to travel with your pet? Do you want to do X, Y, or Z? And so the recruiters weren't asking, the drivers weren't asking, and everybody was just kind of doing this same dance that really leads to, oh, I'll try it. Oh, I don't like it. I'm going to leave.
Yeah. Or I'll say yes to a whole bunch of them. And then the day before I start, I'll decide which one feels better or which one I'm seeing better stuff about on social media. And that's not really the right way of doing it. So one of the things that I would be curious to see happen, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit in my session, I don't think very many people are going to do it, but as a driver looking for a position, I would ask that person working that booth, how are you being incented here? Are you being incented? Are you being bonused by the number of drivers that you hire or how quickly you hire them? Or are you being bonused based on how well they work out? Most of them, as we've seen from Best Fleets, most companies measure that effort, measure recruiting effort by activity. How many seats did they fill? How quickly did they fill the seats? Like all of that kind of stuff, rather than is it the right person and do they stick around? Are they still here a year from now? So if the recruiter working that booth is incented by number of leads, number of conversations that they have, if that's the metrics that that person is using, you have no real hope of having a good conversation with them at that company because they just want to collect your info and move on or hire you, get you into a truck and then move on to the next person.
No, hire them, get them into orientation.
Get them to orientation. Yes.
You know, that's the goal. Get you to orientation, not, you know, get you to a point where you're a happy employee in a year.
Yeah.
That's a whole different kettle of fish.
Right.
You know, going to orientation and going and working there for a year. That's very different goals and very different things that you have to do to achieve those goals. And people will only do what they're incented to do. Yep. Drivers and recruiters and dispatchers and everybody involved, like even to the executive, you really are only going to do what you're incented to do.
Yeah. Humans respond to incentives.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you incenting as a fleet operator? Yeah. So that mismatch, I think, also is part of the reason why we have so many of these situations where somebody gets onto our list and there's people on social media saying, oh my God, how'd they get on there? They're terrible. I heard the worst things about them, or I had a bad experience with them. And it's not that the company is bad, is that it was a mismatch. It's not right for you. So,
well, that's not, oh, sorry, for the top 20, yes.
Oh yeah.
In the top 20, I would say that they've been vetted enough that they've told us enough about their programs and what they're trying to achieve, and their drivers have agreed with them enough, and their safety record has shown that what they're trying to do is working, that those three things equal a fleet that is good. It may not be good for every individual.
It will not be good for every individual.
No, because some people want to work for a small company. Some people want to work for a big company. Some people are more interested in becoming an owner operator. Somebody wants to stay as a company driver. Some people don't conduct themselves well in a certain situation. And it just, you know, people just might butt heads. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of reasons why jobs don't go the way that you want them to go. But I don't think you can say about the best, the top 20 and the Hall of Fame, that they are crappy places to work.
Yeah. As we have discussed before, if we excluded any company that some driver is pissed off about, no driver or no company would ever make it. Every company has drivers that hate them. That's just the nature of running a business.
I think every company has somebody who hates them. Like, it's a company is basically an organization of a group of people, and you can't have a company with any longevity that has any complexity that is not going to have conflict. I mean, that's part of our day-to-day, I don't want to say operate, not that we have day-to-day conflict or anything, but basically there's always something that's happening. There's some kind of an issue between coworkers, or there's something with the system, or there's something with a reseller or a customer, or there's something is happening that even with best intentions, things happen. Mm-hmm. Things go wrong. You have to deal with all of those things. And you cannot have a perfect company. You can't, that isn't going to happen. There's always going to be something wrong. So really what you want to see is what happens when something goes wrong? Mm-hmm. What is the response of the company when something goes wrong? What is the response of the company on your worst day? What is the, how do you feel in the company on the company's worst day? So it's a relationship, even though you're not having a relationship necessarily a person, you're having a relationship with an entity, it's still a relationship. And sometimes they don't work out. And one, I remember one Best Fleet, the CEO at the time, he is retired now, but Central Oregon Truck Company said to me, and they're in the Hall of Fame, they've been on the list for, I don't know, 10 years or 11, it might be 11 years now. And he said to me, you know, sometimes the best thing that you can do is part ways. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's just not going to work and you have to let that person go because it's just not, you can't, it's not going to happen. And, you know, they may be upset for, you know, a little while, but they're going to feel a lot better when they're away from you.
Yeah.
And being able to make that decision on both sides is a really, it's hard, but in the long run, it works out.
Yeah. Yeah. That is the kind of thing that I'm going to talk about. And I want to have that discussion with the audience about the kind of things that we evaluate beyond the basic stuff that they tend to measure fleets by. Like, they measure them by how much you get paid, how many miles they give, and do they pay their settlements accurately and on time. And like, that's all table stakes. You have to move on beyond that. Now, I think there's a perception among drivers that there are fleets who don't pay accurately and don't pay the right things. But a lot of times it's the driver not understanding the package. Not understanding what's going on.
Because the driver hasn't asked any questions.
They didn't ask questions, and people were so focused on getting hired quickly and getting moving quickly, they didn't take the time to really understand all the ins and outs of something. So,
and pay packages can be very confusing for drivers.
Oh my God, yes.
It's not I do not like it. I don't like having to count all the pennies.
But that goes back to my point about how does the company manage the performance of drivers? Do they just give you a quarterly bonus that's a surprise whether you get it or not and how it's calculated? Or do you have tools that allow you to see how much you're making and where you've got strengths, where you've got things that you need to work on? Do you have the tools to really improve and a coaching program to help get better at those things?
Well, also, how are those miles, like, how do you know how many miles you're going to get? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, what happens when you don't get enough miles? What does the company just sort of shrug their shoulders and say, oh, well, if you're being paid primarily by the mile and the company doesn't have any confidence or doesn't have any plan to get you those miles, then, you know, or when you can make up to this amount of money, but only when the miles are really high. So asking about a guarantee or mm-hmm. about, you know, a top up program or something like that, if that's in place, that's, you know, will tell you if the company cares about actually providing you with the miles that you're going to need.
Well, sometimes the miles just aren't there, and the good companies communicate that. The good companies are the ones where drivers will say they pay us what they can, and we're always in the loop. We know what's going on, and they're not bothered by the fact that they aren't getting miles because they don't feel they're getting robbed. They understand that it's an economic situation. That's a really good example of a fleet that's got good communication and focusing on the right things rather than just this binary thing of are the miles there or not.
I think also drivers don't always look at the entire package.
Yeah.
Sometimes the fleet is covering benefits or covering medical and, yeah. you know, whatever other kind of insurance. They're also covering some sort of 401k or pension program. And they're also, so you have the bonus, you also have your base miles. And what the companies who want to make sure that drivers understand this, sometimes they have an example settlement where you can see all the different things that actually go into your pay rather than just that per mile thing plus whatever comes on top of it.
That's a good one. I'm going to mention that. Yeah, the example settlement. But I want to get the conversation away from compensation. I want to get it into finding a good fit, communication, like having a voice, all of those things that make for a better workplace experience.
That's true. And I'm falling into the trap about talking about compensation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's easy. It is
because when you have a job, when you look for a job or you even talking about hiring for a position, the first thing you talk about is money.
Actually, no. When we go through the hiring process for a new person here, we're well into that before we start talking about money.
But we always have an idea of how much we want to spend.
Well, that's because I don't ever want to spend anything.
But that's the same with everybody else. Nobody wants to spend tons right. of money on, like someone would rather have a really cheap person, but you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
But the problem is that's where you start. And so that, and that's also that's the part when it goes wrong, that's the hardest part to deal with.
Yeah.
So on either side, mm-hmm. you know, the money is really difficult. So you tend to think about the money first, and then you end up realizing how awful you feel when you go to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't, you know, at the beginning, it doesn't matter because you're making money, whatever. But then after 6 months or 3 months or whatever time period goes by, when it's not going well, you realize that everything in your life is not going well because your job's not going well.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's, I think, where you're coming in and talking about, well, let's look at all those other things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how is the company actually treating you?
Yeah. So you can see we're going to have a good conversation.
Oh, and another thing that you probably already thought about, but what happens when you try and tell the company
yeah.
that things aren't going well?
Well, that's the whole thing about, do you have a voice? Are there committees? You know the company's going to claim to have an open door policy. Yeah, but what else is actually happening? Yeah, what is that process for resolving issues? So we're going to have a good conversation, I think.
That's a good question. What is mm-hmm. the process for resolving issues? What if I don't agree with something? Who do I talk to? And if you hear the words open door policy,
run away.
Well, people are going to say it.
Yeah, disregard it because everybody's going to say it. But it also means, I would say that means that the company doesn't have the maturity to really have the words to explain what's really going on. Like one of the things we've realized is that they fall back on open door policy when they don't have the language to explain it in more clear and more accurate terms. So they fall back on these sort of cliche statements of we're all family and we got an open door policy. But the more mature companies that do have that stuff figured out, they don't need to use that because they can give you the specific answer. They can give you the real words of what's actually happening. They say things like, committee and driver mentors, and we have a liaison, and we have an outreach program, and we do surveys quarterly and all of this kind of stuff.
And we'll call and check in on you.
Yeah. So they're not just saying open door policy. They're coming out and saying, hey, we're going to come and talk to you, make sure that it's okay. And here's what we're going to do if it's not okay.
One of the things I think we talked about really early on in the podcast is the prevalence of open door policy.
Oh, it's been a regular theme.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody who listens to this knows what I think of it.
And the whole vagueness of the term and how it, you know, how irritating it is because you don't know what, you know, it sounds great. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're all welcoming and stuff like that. But we've gone through over the last 100 episodes, we've gone through all of the different permutations of what it could be. You know, is it the door being taken off the hinges, but nobody actually listens to you while you're in the room, and, you know, all kinds of ridiculous things. What I think is interesting now is that open door policy isn't being used as much as the word culture.
Yeah, well, they're starting to figure it out.
Well, yes and no, because people are talking about culture like they can control it.
Oh, they just substituted.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we've got a great culture. It's a great culture. It's a wonderful culture. Our culture is, you know, our drivers love our culture. And you're like, and this culture is,
yeah, how do you define it?
Yeah, they don't.
Describe that culture for
me.
So
they've taken open door policy and replaced it with culture. It completely, you know, words that don't mean anything when someone who's benefiting from, I don't know how to say it, but when people say, oh, we have a great culture, all they're trying to do is snow you, really.
Yeah. Every culture is great for somebody and terrible for somebody else.
Exactly. It's, and for some people, the culture is great for the executive.
Or it's great for people that want a particular thing. Like, you think about the high pressure, cutthroat world of like brokers and stock investors and things like that. And there's people who absolutely love that, who thrive on that, need that kind of energy. And for them, that's fabulous. For a lot of other people, it's a nightmare. It's a heart attack waiting to happen. So it's a great culture for some people. It's terrible for a lot of others. Okay. Every place is great for somebody, and there is a worker who loves it. The key is to find where the balance is.
I think for drivers, being able to pick out key words that don't mean anything is really important. Yeah. But on the carrier side or on the company management side, being able to articulate why a workplace is good or why you'd think that someone would fit in there, rather than just spouting, oh, it's great, it's great, it's great. You know, being able to say, well, you know, we have a program that lets you take your pets on the road, or we have a program where if you want to get extra education, you can, and you can earn this much a mile after, you know, you've completed this. So we really value education, and these are the ways that this is the way that we are trying to improve your education, or we really value home time. So these are the ways that we are going to make sure that, you know, as close to 100%, we're going to get you home when you need to.
I like that idea of words that don't really mean anything and other things to watch for that do mean something. I think I'll put that in there as well. I like that idea. So I'm doing this session with Rick next week on the Thursday of Mid-America. And it's going to be my first time doing a joint presentation with Rick as well. He's been doing the webinars. He's done a few of those.
But you did a presentation with him today. I thought that was pretty good.
Well, we did like web stuff. We haven't done anything live in person. So I think it'll be fine. It's just my first time with a different co-presenter.
He's probably going to be much more cooperative than me.
Yes. Yeah. But it should be good. So that's coming up next week. And we have several other things that are coming up that are going to be just as interesting. And one that is actually happening tomorrow, but by the time this airs, it will have already happened. This is our monthly webinar on integration that we have decided to tackle, because everybody's asking about integration. Oh. Are you integrated with this? Are you integrated with that?
Integration.
And you and I had a good rant about it a couple weeks ago.
On the podcast?
No. We just went for a walk and we were just...
Oh, ranting about integration.
Yeah, well, everybody asking for it and not really understanding what it means or not being clear about all the other things that you need to do in order to make it a success.
I feel like everybody thinks that an integration is like you just plug in a wire and connect things.
Yeah. Putting a plug into the wall.
Yeah.
But like putting a plug into the wall, if you don't have the right voltage, things blow up. So, we're going to have a discussion about that. So Rick and I are talking about that, and we are bringing in Selassie as well for his experience managing all of the partner relations and what he's seeing from partners in terms of integration that work, integrations that don't, and also his past experience outside before he came to us when he worked at Microsoft and had experience outside of the trucking industry in different segments of tech. So his perspective should be really interesting.
Very cool.
I'm looking forward to that. Again, it's only an hour and I can rant for a long time about things. So it's going to be a tight session. So we'll have that. But Rick will have plenty of content for his blog. So not only do we do the webinar, but we do a blog story afterwards and get that out there. So we get it out in a bunch of different channels, but I think that's going to be fun. And then the big thing, 4 weeks from today, the big event. Yes.
The event.
Getting into crunch time now.
Yeah.
What has become known internally as BiffCon.
BiffCon?
Yes.
I didn't realize that you guys were going at that.
Yeah. Well, it just sort of emerged that you got to have a shorthand for these things.
BFCon, that's what.
I've noticed that like a lot of associations, their annual convention, they just refer to it as annual. You got to have some short form. You say it so much, you're so focused on it, you got to have a short form name for it. BiffCon works. It rolls off the tongue pretty nicely.
Okay. So I can deal with that. Hashtag BiffCon.
Yeah. Well, we already have the hashtag that we've been using.
Yeah. And so that's what it is.
Was BFCon24.
Yeah. Yes, but
It's starting to come together. So we've got our formal project kicked off a couple of weeks ago and people in charge of different elements of it. There's one epic that is just for promoting all of the promotion that we have to do around it. One epic that is for all the things that are happening on site that have nothing to do with the actual content or the presentations inside the theater. And then the third epic, the one I'm responsible for, is inside the theater. So the content that we're delivering, the award presentation, and all of the staging, which is the part I've been spending a lot of time on, thinking about what we're going to do with this giant screen. The video projection screen at the NASCAR hall is 64 feet wide, so I've never had a projection screen that wide to work with, so I'm looking forward to it.
I'm waiting to find out what happens when you... Did you send that...
I sent a AV test to them a week ago, so I got to follow up tomorrow and to see
what's going on. I'm interested to see what we can do.
Yeah, so I created a file for them to test that will give me a sense of what actually happens on that screen and what parts of it we can use for different purposes. But I've got some ideas, and I think it's going to work out pretty cool. And we've just been working on other things like carpet and stage decoration and lighting and all of these things that you have to have. And last week we started talking about the printed agenda. We've got all kinds of swag that's happening, pens and portfolios, so many things that you have to do for an event like this.
Mm-hmm.
Lanyards, tablecloths, plan for what's going up on all the different screens in various places around the hall, not to mention all of the headaches around catering and like all of that kind of stuff that you have to deal with. So there's a lot happening. Oh, and the radio people. So we have to coordinate that because we've got the Radio Nemo that's going to be broadcasting live from there. So there are, I think we got 12 or 16 different segments that we've got to fill. So we've got people booked for those and got to get that coordinated. We've got the media coming as well. So we got to make sure they are all set. They've got a space to write their stories and chance to interview people and all of these different things.
That's it's a long big list. Job.
It is.
And a very little part of it, I changed the presentation file.
Okay.
So grab the new one before you use it.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't started.
Okay.
Actually,
I
putting
that.
My content together, I've kind of roughed out. I mean, we've had a few meetings to rough out the various sessions because we've got, when we got 4 hours of content that's going to be ours directly.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems like a lot, but already I'm looking at the list and I think there's stuff where you're going to have to cut. That's not going to make it. So it's
crazy.
You
mean for BiffCon?
Yeah. There's things that we're probably not going to get to because we're not going to have time.
Holy crap.
Yeah. 4 hours of content and, well, there's a lot of material. There's a lot of information that we collect every year and we're going to go through it. And by the time we have a conversation and provide context and give some kind of meaningful editorial on some of these things that we've found, comparing it with past years and looking at where the trends are going and talking about specifics of how things are going to work. Yeah, that 4 hours is going fast, insanely.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
So I would love to add a bit more, but there's only so much you can grind people with. Like, they need to be able to put sentences together still when they leave.
Exactly.
That's the thing that I came up against when I was planning this, is realizing that there's only so much you can do to people in the space that you have. So you have to limit it. So that's going to be good. And just as exciting, we have one more guest speaker that we've added. I'm very excited about this one.
Yes.
So we're going to be officially announcing it through social media next week. It's actually out on the website now, on one of the websites, on the event website. It's up there now. But we have Marley Hall from NMFTA, the
National
Motor Freight Traffic Association.
NMFTA.
Yes.
National Motor Freight Traffic Association.
Yes.
Okay.
So she's going to be talking about cybersecurity, which they are making a priority issue, and they've done a lot of work on it. They've got some new reports and some really good stuff that they've been doing. And Marley has been doing her normal excellent work of getting their brand out there and building the sort of public awareness of the issues the way she does. So it's going to be great to have her there, sharing some of the findings from their most recent reports. And also it's great just to have Marley there and hang out because she's been such a integral part of Best Fleet stuff that we were doing when we were working with TCA and she was still working there. It was like an annual thing that we just worked together producing it. So
yeah, for years.
Yeah.
I think about 7 years.
I think she was actually there for 9 years at TCA.
I know, but she wasn't. But Debbie Sparks was doing it first.
Well, Debbie, ever since Marley started, she was involved in it.
She was involved in it. There was a couple of years that Debbie did it with you directly. And then, so out of the 15, I think about 4 were just you and Debbie.
Yeah.
And then after that, she was involved. Mm-hmm. And then after Debbie left, then she was the primary person. So she was very familiar with the program.
Yeah. And both Marley and Debbie Sparks, who now heads up the NMFTA, they've been really great helpers. They've given a lot of good insights and I've bounced ideas off of them and discovering areas of event planning that we didn't have much experience with, like specifics of scheduling and some of the things related to that and, you know, how to manage promotion and all of that. They've been super helpful and awesome as they always are. So great to have Marley there and to be able to do a little bit of cross promotion, each of us promoting the other entity, and that should be great.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
So we have lots happening. I don't know if we have a podcast. We might have a podcast actually like the week before we go. So I have a feeling that episode is not going to talk about much beyond
BiffCon. Oh, yeah.
It's going to be all BiffCon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and also the conference happens on a Tuesday. It's a full day on Tuesday. But we are supposed to be doing a webinar on that Tuesday as well that we are planning to do somehow live from this event. So we've got to figure that out soon.
Like a Carrier's Edge webinar?
Yes. Yeah. Second Tuesday of the month is our monthly webinar.
I thought we figured it out that somebody...
Yeah. Well, how we figured it before, like 2 months ago, was somebody will do it and we'll set up in one of the rooms and somebody can do it from there. And that was as far as we got. We had answer and then we were able to park it and then move on. And now we're at the point where it's like, oh, we got to figure out what that thing is going to look like.
Courtney.
Yeah.
Courtney can do the webinar.
Well, we'll figure it out. Much like The Radio Nemo people last week were like, okay, what are we doing for specific segments? When are we going live and what are we doing recorded? Because they need to know that. And we had roughed it out altogether months ago and didn't need to put specifics around it because it was premature. But now we're at that point where they need to figure out their planning and their show scheduling. So we had to figure all of that out. And so we're getting to that point where all of those things that were roughed out and parked now need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
So exciting times.
Yes, definitely. The urgent or the non-urgent becomes urgent.
Well, and anything that really is non-urgent really just gets parked for another month, month and a half.
Yeah,
like they've got a lot of projects that are just getting shelved for now.
I have been very weirdly not involved very much. I've been doing a little bit of decoration.
You've been doing some of the creative work.
Yeah, my big whack of work was like right after the announcement or coming up to the announcement and doing the announcement, and then also the book, mm-hmm. And the Stratosphere Award, mm-hmm. which was announced today.
Well, we talked about it here a couple of episodes back.
Oh, okay. But we had to have a logo.
Yes.
And I had...
that's one more thing where it's okay. Well, now we got to get the specifics. Oh, and now we have to add that to our website.
Yes,
we got to do that too.
I had that as a task. I knew I had to do it, but I forgot. And but I had already had it designed in my head, so I just had to put it on paper. And then...
That's shaping up very nicely. The Best of the Best Award.
Mm-hmm.
The best overall performance among Hall of Fame fleets.
Which
really is the sort of crown, the pinnacle.
Yeah.
So that's going to be very cool. So we're getting all of the pieces together and you have not been doing a whole ton of sort of the minutiae, but you've been keeping things rolling elsewhere in the business.
Yes. Yeah. I've been sort of.
Yeah. We do have a business to run.
Keeping the wheels turning.
Yeah. BIFCON does not pay the bills.
Yeah.
In fact, it will need very many other bills to be paid in order to fund it because it's turning into a bit of an endeavor. Let's just call it that.
Well, we have the course machine is starting to turn, faster, which is really good. This is kind of what Deanna and I have been working on, is how to get more of that kind of get the sludge out of the wheels. And so we've got four courses that we're kind of in the final stages of. So we have a road rage course. Owner-operator business skills has been redone. Leadership skills is been developed and is ready for creative. And the last one is WMIS, an overhaul of WMIS. There's some, it's not like WMIS is really materially changed, but there's some details that are a little different. So we've cleaned up the WMIS course. It's an older course of ours. It's been updated a couple of times, but this is the first time that it's been kind of given a bit of an overhaul. So we are getting close with that as well. So that's been, I've been working on that pretty hard.
Yeah.
With Deanna.
Yeah. There's a lot of other stuff that's been going on. Mm-hmm. So we have segmented groups pretty nicely so that you can focus on that and you have a specific block of the content in the main section of BIFCON to deliver, but outside of that, you've been able to focus on other things.
Yeah, yeah. And so the whole creative look of Best Fleets has been completely redone with the website, and that was a lot of work. That was a heavy lift.
And then that also leads into having to redesign the podcast and mm-hmm. the newsletter and the results book, which you mentioned you'd worked on. You did a lot of work cleaning that up, you and Bernice, getting it all workable and looking more current and ready for us to put the content in. So that was a big team effort. That was six or so people that worked on that this year.
Yeah, I think a lot of our team was new a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And, we really started building out our team. I think 2018 was when we started starting the big hire. Mm-hmm. And then during the pandemic, we added tons
of people.
So I think everybody is starting to settle down and kind of figure out how we work and what the, you know, the direction is, and people are starting to build their skills.
Yeah.
And, you know, when people are new, it doesn't really matter how skilled they are. They have to kind of figure out the cadence of the company and what, where we want you to go. And, you know, of course, nobody has done anything like Best Fleets.
Yeah.
Nobody except for Trish had had any experience with this kind of a program, including you and I had never had experience with this kind of program before we decided to launch one. And so that takes a while too. Like, you know, people have to go through the process a couple of times before they're starting to realize, oh yeah, okay, this is Best Fleets. This is what happens on, you know, beginning of September every year. We're doing this and this and this, and then we have to do the announcement and then this and this and this. And what's really cool is that people are, there's a lot more people involved now. It's not just you and I.
Oh, yeah.
Which I am really happy about.
Yeah. The whole marketing group is involved and they've got jobs that are all parts of it. Different things that they help out with, and they're reviewing things and checking it. And
we may not have mistakes in the book this year.
I'm sure there still is something on there, but yeah, we had five people review it separately and they all came up with different things, which is great. All the kind of little things that would drive me nuts.
We missed.
Oh, and really simple things like on one page, one row of text is a slightly different color for some reason because the style didn't get applied properly, or one of the table cells doesn't have the right font. Like that kind of stuff. As soon as I see it in the print version, it drives me nuts. But we caught a lot of that stuff. I'm sure there are still things. Probably there's some big thing where we've got like a sponsor name spelled wrong or something.
Oh, perish the thought. Do not say that.
I know. Where's some wood to knock on?
I know.
Yes, we're knocking on wood here.
Throw salt over your shoulder. Yeah. All the things.
Yeah. But I think we're in good shape with that. So the book is off to the printer. Trish is busy putting together the reports in addition to all of the head down grind for BiffCon so that we can get ready for all of that. And like I said, I'm off to Mid-America next week to speak. And then after that, it's going to be just a very deep focus on finishing all of the last pieces for the conference.
Sounds like a plan.
And with that, I think we probably can wrap it up.
All right. Sounds good.
Happy 100.
Happy 100 to you.
Have a good day, and thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye for now.